So that we've got it on the thing. So it's now 7:05. And this is the Huntington Estates Homeowners Association quarterly board meeting on October 13th, 2020. So there's a couple things that I kind of wrote down. I got kind of behind on stuff this last week with some doctor's appointments and stuff that I had and lost track of days and time. But there's a few things that I kind of wrote down for an agenda to kind of go over and everybody can get some input on and put some input on. So if y'all will bear with me a little bit and we can go through things. I know one of our always hot topics is the road fund. And I talked to Richard today via email just to check up and see how we're doing, because I know back in March with when everything started with the corona stuff and COVID stuff, that we were kind of took a little bit of a hit on our road fund. But he was pretty much in real good spirits about the way things have gone. I know when we started this road fund thing, they were looking at a goal of 6 or 7% in a year as far as an increase with the way the fund is put together. As of right now, including all contributions that we've had, it is up 14.8%. So it's almost double, or right about double of what they expected for a year. And with what he came up with, we're at a value right now of $221,438, which was an unrealized gain of $28,618 that they weren't expecting. So it's been working out pretty well. Some changes in the way it's invested has made it a little bit better. So we've done pretty well in the last 6 months or so since the COVID stuff, and we kind of bottomed out on that. Do we have any questions on that I might be able to answer?
Candy here.
Candy?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah.
So an increase of 14%, can you tell us how much of that was deposits from collection of dues versus the actual interest that was accrued?
He didn't give me that breakdown. I was hoping Edson may be able to help with that a little bit more, but I think he just popped in. But what he sent me in the email was it was a unrealized gain of the $28,000, including all contributions. So that's the monies that we've gotten back for back dues and stuff like that, plus what the accounts have made with the market.
Okay.
Candy, this is Clay. I can speak to briefly to the total contributions for the year. And so Edson just joined on, and I'm beating him to the punch probably. He's probably navigating to it. But $24,447 were deposited into the road fund this year. And we have probably a few hundred dollars left to deposit as the final late payments that were accruing fees trickle in, and anything else remaining that would come in from collections that we're anticipating any time now coming in. I think John Kellerman here is going to speak a little bit to that in a little while. But so I think we deposited 180,000. 180 or 188,000 was transferred from Raymond James. And then we've deposited 24,000, and so you know, like 188 plus 24, and then whatever the difference would be, and then there's some unrealized losses in there too. because of something happened this year. What was it? Pandemic. There was something like that. So,
yeah.
So with that being said, I think, being this far on top is a good sign. So if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And I agree with that. I just don't want people to be fooled when they hear that number, because it does sound like pie in the sky, and it's wonderful. It's always much better to have your numbers go up than down. But when we're quoting the rates that we've, you know, the interest that has, I guess I should say the proceeds or our earnings, I would just like to see that separated more from what's actually been deposited, so people can verify the difference, if that makes any sense.
Yep, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Anyone else? Nobody? Nobody? Okay, so the other email that I got today was one that's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, is the recovery of past dues. Clay touched on some of that already with how much we've gotten back, how much we've gotten sent off. The email I got from David today was, there's nothing much to update at this time. He would like to have a Zoom meeting with the board to go over a couple of the things as far as future collections and stuff like that. So if we can, everybody kind of look at your schedules and over the next couple of days and see what day that we may be able to give him a couple of dates that we might be able to have a Zoom meeting with David as far as where we're at with the collections and stuff like that, because I know there's still a few out there that we've got to get some in and stuff that they're working on at the law firm itself. But he's recommending that we have a little Zoom meeting with him so that we can go over everything and kind of get it all a general consensus of the entire board as we move forward with it.
So, John, Candy here again.
Uh-huh.
And here's what I recommend is, I think most people have day jobs or, you know, evenings are better. So quite possibly you could just ask the attorney to give us three, you know, one, two, three, his best date, his best, you know, good, better, best. And then maybe we can choose from that. Would that work? Because otherwise you're trying to get a whole bunch of people together on, you're going to have a whole bunch of dates.
Can I speak real quick? Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This might, I think you guys were maybe talking past each other, because if I understand what's being said and the correct term for being used, an unrealized gain is a potential profit that exists on paper because of an investment. So that 14% would have nothing to do with deposits. It would have only exists because of an increase in the value of the investment itself that will only be realized if and when we sell the shares of whatever we've invested in. So if that explains that a little bit better, that is completely separate from what has been put into the road fund from this year's contributions, as long as the correct terminology has been used. Does that make sense, Candy?
Yeah, I think that was a wonderful explanation, Grant. Thank you.
Okay. I'll mute myself. go back to.
No, that's fine, Grant. So since we're in the whole money thing, I know Clay and Edson have been working with the audit committee. How's that been going, Edson? Still here, Edson?
Sorry, I'm trying to get off mute. Okay. On Zoom all day, and I can't figure out how Chime works. So, you know, we finally got an initial meeting just so we can get all of us together. We could figure out what the game plan is, get a timeline for when we expect to get it all done. I think the date that we're aiming towards is the 1st of November to actually have it completed. We're having a terribly difficult time getting choosing dates to meet because of everyone's schedule. But at this point, we have a game plan. We know what we expect to do. It's just a matter of being able to meet maybe every other week and kind of knock the things out that we need to get taken care of.
Can I ask who's on the committee, please, Edson?
Yes, it is me, Nick. Let me try to grab the names here. Sorry, I am transitioning from work. So it's me, Nick. Clay is helping out, and Jim Hoke.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yes.
Now, y'all going to be the same ones to set the budget up, which has got to be presented at November meeting?
I didn't think we were going to do that. That wasn't one of the agenda items for the audit committee. I expected to have a separate meeting, and I'm not sure how we do it here in Huntington Estates. But usually, from what I'm accustomed to, the treasurer produces one for the board. We go over it, and then we decide if it's okay to suggest that to the rest of the membership. So I would expect that maybe with some of Clay's help, since he did last year's, I would produce a budget that would be appropriate for the next coming fiscal year. And that would be offered up to the rest of the board.
Requirement of the audit. Sorry.
No, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, according to our bylaws, it is the function of the audit committee to set the budget for the next year.
Okay, well, that actually helps. We have a list here of things. Let me add that to the long list, and it'll be pretty easy to get that as one of the action items to come out of the meetings then.
And I know you guys have been trying, but for future years, the budget really should be set by this meeting so the board could have an idea of what's coming and be prepared to present it at the November meeting, which is going to hit us in a few short weeks.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah, so a budget needs to be done. I personally expect it to be very similar to this past year. I know Clay has mentioned a few things, a little more for some of the web-based stuff, the Chime, things that maybe not having direct line items on the budget. Probably be a good idea to break those out and then see where we're at and make recommendations. Yeah, we're not doing the CPA audit, so the audit committee is to do the bookkeeping review and make sure that the treasurer has done their job for the year, suggest any improvements, and then create a budget for us to present to the members. And it's always unclear, because it's really not a board meeting, but the budget is supposed to be voted on at the annual members meeting, which leaves many to believe that the members are to vote on it. And that's never been how it's been done here. The board votes to approve it or not. And I'll be honest to say that I'm still unclear exactly and unsure whether the members really should be part of that voting or not. It is the November meeting is their meeting, not our board meeting. The main purpose of that members meeting is to present and approve a budget for the next year and to elect new volunteers for the coming year. The more thorough you guys can come up with on the audit committee, the more independent it is. What we really don't want is for individual board members to be creating budget for their pet projects. It is supposed to be an independent review and suggested budget, and then we make sure we can live with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually very helpful, since it'll be my first time going through the audit committee process. So, so thanks for all of that, actually.
Okay. Thanks, John. Anything else? Clay, you got anything about the audit committee or anything like that?
Pretty much exactly what Edson said, working with, augmenting the group with Nick and Edson. Nick is kind of, Nick is the audit chair. So we were kind of taking our direction of what he wanted to see. And we granted Nick access to QuickBooks. So Nick can log in and see and run any report that he wants, some profit loss statements and the income statement. And he's going to be comparing and looking at transactions that have occurred, random sampling of transactions for the last 2 years. So, we're not auditing 2020. We're actually auditing 2018 and 2019, those 2 years. This audit has been kind of dragging along for a long time and trying to get it started. So it's good that we finally got traction and got our first meeting down. So I think, the idea is that it's independent, and like John said, and we'll be following what Nick kind of set up. And to kind of touch on the budget side of things is that all the logic and spreadsheets and everything that was used to kind of formulate the budgets out there in the treasurer's account, online. So that's something that I can walk Edson through how we came and arrived at the budget for this year. So, and pretty much lining up expenditures by category and breaking out, obviously, the different things that need to be broken out. So if we were going to break out the cost of QuickBooks versus the cost of the website versus the cost of the, Chime or Zoom or whatever that is, we can go ahead and budget for that then. So that should do it. So if anybody has any questions, like I've always said, you guys can just email me and call. My numbers, you should all have my number. So.
And just for completeness, Nick also has access to the bank statements and balances.
Okay. Which, in order to do a correct audit, I wouldn't expect anything other than that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know Clay said QuickBooks, but yeah, the other side is the actual money, right? Not just the accounting.
Yeah. Hopefully the audit compares it too and verifies that the record keeping is going correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll add, and since Edson added to me, I'll add to Edson and say that the QuickBooks has always been set up to sync and lock in with the actual checking account. So the reconciliation process between QuickBooks and the bank account is pretty much you click a button and it refreshes on like online banking and it pulls everything in. So, the idea of having to log in every single transaction manually to QuickBooks is a nightmare, and it's something we quickly avoided early on. So.
Yep.
Perfect. I want to leave nominations towards the end because I know it's going to be a longer discussion. Maintenance committee, I know Carlos is here, and Carlos and Terry have been busting their hump around here a little bit, and I want to thank both of them. I know they were working a lot with the helping when Liliana was being very active with both of the entrances, but Terry and Carlos have been doing some tree work and trying to get the roads as far as trees and stuff done. And I want to thank both of them. And if they want to let us know some of the other things they got planned coming up.
Yeah. Hey, this is Carlos. And I just wanted to say it's good to be with you again. Sorry I had to miss a couple of meetings because of my surgery and other things. But I'm going to go over a few accomplishments and some plans. And I would appreciate, you know, any feedback or anything like that I may be going perhaps a little too fast. In order to prevent that, though, most of my work, I do it with Terry and JK, John Kellerman. So that keeps us from getting too enthusiastic and hurting ourselves instead of helping. So number one, in the entrances, we finished everything. Finished putting the chips and all of that into the front entrance, and Grant helped Liliana put the last few things that we needed to complete. We have requested also the water access on the old Bainbridge entrance. The gentleman that lives near the main entrance, I said he's fine with us putting the hose there that reaches. And we'll go ahead and set that up and put a good hose and something that will work whoever's doing the watering. So Liliana at the moment has volunteered to do a lot of the watering. The other thing is we also going to improve the hose that goes to the front entrance so we can do the watering over there. It's a little short right now, and we'll put the appropriate thing that's needed. And the other one is on Esposito. We made contact with the team that comes and does the maintenance, and I got the key for the tennis court from Candy. They went ahead and got all that grass out of the tennis court itself because it was causing some mildew. And I think that's going to be improved. On Monday, I'm going to be doing a walkthrough with a representative from Esposito. And is that I think they've been skipping a couple of places where they need to do some more work. So we'll clarify that from the information that I've got. I want to make sure that we're in the same sheet on contract. And also, we're going to talk about the special trimming that has to be done in the entrances two times a year. So I want to make sure that we have a good clearance, for example, for the front entrance, the stop sign is getting blocked a little bit. The other one is... and also, what I've noticed is, for example, on the bridge in Carrington, the bridge and the end of Carrington Drive are not getting done, so we'll fix that. We went ahead, Terry and I, and cleared a little bit of some of the branches that were at the bridge that were kind of blocking and making cars move over. And what we did also is we're going to be doing probably a monthly drive through the neighborhood and make sure that all the water drains are clear. And also we went ahead and measured the branch clearances for trucks. And our assessment is that there's only a few limbs, maybe two or three per household that can be used, that can be trimmed, and that we can do. And it's all trucks that don't need a height permit should be able to run through here. So we'll be doing that in the next few weeks. An email was sent to announce it, and then we'll be just courteous and check with the homeowners and let them know what we're doing. But it wasn't a big deal, and I don't think it'll be a big problem for us to cut it so we can provide a service. And we're glad to do it. There may be a couple of trees that might require some chainsaw, but we'll deal with that, or a bucket. But I think we might be able to go around that. The other one is we did cut the dead tree over there by the tennis court, and thank Grant for letting us put the piles in front of his household. I've noticed that they only removed two of the three, and they all met the size requirements. So I'm not sure why they left one of the piles last week. So Grant, let me know if I'm gonna call and find out what's the problem with that, because we did our best there to keep them 3 foot long, so it wasn't that we were exceeding any city requirement. What else we're gonna do is, so the plants are not only do the overlap, the limbs, trim those that are overlapping over the roadways, but also probably in November, by then we'll hit the paint yellow warning lines around the drains. And we should be able to do it before Thanksgiving. That's kind of my goal. Those are the only things that we've got. I only got one question, and it's more of just preparations for Christmas. What are we planning to do for the entrances? If we plan to put some lights there, and do we have the connections? So we'll be checking on that and make sure that everything works. If we are going to put some lights there, but there is some plugs that I'm not up. I'll be following up on, but that's all I have. Terry, you got anything to add?
No, you pretty well covered it.
JK?
No, that's it. I was going to ask, I know Candy in the past, and John, you guys were here in the past when they used to decorate. Was that just donated stuff that people put out there at the entrances back in the day? And I know Terry could probably answer too, or did somebody have that stored somewhere?
No, the last time it, excuse me, this is Candy. The last time it was decorated, it was three or four homeowners that donated some items. And a lot of the items were very old, and they weren't working by the end of the Christmas season. So I don't know who has what was left. But, I'm willing to donate some of my older stuff. There might be some other people here that are willing to do that.
Do you have a committee, right, that takes care of, planning for this?
Well, that would be in the Recreation and Public Relations Committee. But Carlos, it's just, you know, you're new on the maintenance committee. I will just say you're going to find it's always the same two or three people that do all the work and do all the contributions. And I, for one, I'm kind of done volunteering my things in my time. So I don't know if other people are willing to do that, or if the association wants to invest in something that's permanent and then somebody has to take responsibility for storing it and protecting it.
Yeah. Well, just for everybody's knowledge, I'm willing to store something if we buy it, or work with others to do the same. I believe that if we're going to be putting something in the front entrances, it probably should be of good quality, representing the neighborhood. And I propose, without going over budget, whatever we have left on the $100, the $500 on the entrances, that we use some of that money for buying some things at the moment, because we did not use all the money, and that'll be a start. But like I said, I'm more worried about the electrical connection, and make sure that works. And then on the lights, we can always, on first year, we can loan it. And then on the second year, we'll start getting better and doing something a little more reliable with that, and work with that committee. I'm not very good about decorating and things like that. But I will help a lot. I'm a hard worker and I'm retired, so I can help a lot of people, and we can start. I think for Christmas we should be able to recruit some individuals to help us out and do a nice good job there in the front entrances at least.
So Carla, something that Liliana had proposed, and she really, really, really wanted to do this, and I think there's some merit in it, but everybody will have to discuss it and I guess vote on it, or the committee, if there's money in the budget, you don't need to, you know, just the board would have to agree to it. But she recommended buying those foldable spheres, and they come in red, white, and blue. So you get a small one, a medium one, and a large one. And Liliana thought that if we bought two sets, then that would be one set for each entrance. So on your holidays, Veterans Day, Memorial Weekend, Christmas, you can always use red, white, and blue. And then if you want to use natural colors, just put red, white, and blue. But that's something to think about.
Are they lit, or are they, because when you say foldable.
The spheres, if you've seen Esposito's, you've seen those big balls, they're made of wire. Well, now they have them where they're collapsible. So you don't have to store them in a whole ball. It flattens up.
Okay. But they are lit.
Yeah. Who are the members of that committee? Because I can go check with Liliana, but I just wanted to know who are in. Is there other members in that committee?
Yes, I can send you. Yeah.
Yeah, if I can have the emails and things like that, I can kind of with Liliana. She'll help us out on some of these. We can organize something.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That it for maintenance?
I'd like to add a comment to that for Edson. Might be a good idea to double check the utility bill. As I recall, the lights we put up there last year, the year before, added significantly to the January bill. So it'd be worth budgeting for that instead of being surprised. And Clay, I don't know if you remember, it seems like it was $200 or $300 extra that month.
Yeah, it was more money, but I don't remember the amount. So I remember logging into the HOA TalGov, you know, website where they had like the energy savings calculator, and you can see the graph for the last year and trend over year. And there was definitely a difference that caused me to question what was going on. And I think I went back and asked you, John, like, what was going on at this interest between this time? And I think once I said it out loud, I'm like, oh, wait, that's the holidays. So, and it could be that the lights were left on during the day, or I don't know what it was, but there was a difference that kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, even if we
they shouldn't be. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
The outlets they're plugged into up there are connected to the electric eye, so they should only come on at nighttime.
Okay. maybe there were halogen bulbs and not the new LED bulbs. I don't remember, but we can definitely go back and pull the historical, you know, right off the website, because you can go back and see what the bills were and do that trend, and I can work with Edson on that and show him what we're talking about.
And I am looking right now, and our monthly City of Tallahassee bill is about $470, and it's been pretty stable for the past 5 months. So as long as I keep a track of that, I will see it going up if it does go up when the holidays come around.
I'd like to ask if, you know, we did budget for $1,500 on the entrance and common area. And I want to, like, reconciliate what the what we have already spent, and if we got extra money, we'll use some of that to buy some of the equipment, lights that we need, and if it's needed, then we'll buy a timer if something happens and maybe the eye is not working. We need to double check all of that, so I'll look into that. Thank you, John, for letting me know that there is electrical and there is an eye there that turns it off. So
there is, and I'll be happy to show you where that is at both entrances.
Okay, yeah, great. So Terry and I will come over. We do it on Tuesdays or Thursdays. So
it's right there on the pole.
You're okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm right on. Yeah, and it works every night because the lights are on.
Okay. All right, so I just want to see what we need and any extension cords and things like that. And, you know, let's get this place looking good there, those entrances.
Yeah, you can plug about 4 to 6 extension cords into that cord hanging off of there.
Great.
It goes into the electrical box.
Okay, so board members, so if my finance guys can help me out with letting me know how much money is left for the $1,500 that I understand was in the budget for the entrance and common area. And there was also $250 for safety. You know, we can use some of that for different items that might be needed for Christmas. If you don't mind, I mean, we'll make the most out of that.
I am looking that up right now. If I can't get a final number before the meeting's over, we could talk after the meeting. I missed my chance to meet you. Okay. we could take that opportunity too.
Thank you, Edson.
Not a problem.
Carlos, if you do, when you start looking at, if you have to look at lights and stuff, look towards LEDs because they take less power. And, you know, I mean, I know that commercial grades are going to be a lot more expensive than, you know, just the regular household grades and stuff like that. So kind of get us get a little, you know, idea or game plan with some prices and everything else. And then we can always have a working meeting for one of those, and we can slide it in there and see what we got going on before we just jump into spending, you know, money on lights and stuff like that. I know we want to get them. I know we want to bring the neighborhood back into, you know, being one of the people want to come through here and look at the lights like they used to. I mean, it was the good old days, and a lot of people enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. We used to bring my kids when they were littler, and now, you know, it'd be nice to be able to bring the grandkids through and be part of it this time.
All I can say is since John put up the LED lights, our electric bill is only running in usage about $5 a month. Both entrances, probably $10 for both in both entrances. That's all the electricity wattage that we're using per month.
Okay.
Yeah, LEDs are definitely less. John Keller, I'd just like to remind you, though, that you want to have a working meeting where we have to vote on an expenditure, then it has to be noticed to the members as a special meeting. We can't just have a group meeting of ourselves and get together and vote on anything.
Just keep that in mind. I want to be able to get an idea of what we're looking at before we do something like that.
Yep.
Told you I was enthusiastic.
That way, before we go, we sit down and kind of talk about it and see what we're kind of looking at and make a decision before we make a decision type thing, so that we understand. And it's not just getting blind man's bluff on Carlos presenting the stuff in front of everybody to, you know, make a decision on. I'd like to kind of have it where we kind of understood what was going on and what we're talking about before we invite everybody else in it, and then make a vote on if we got to spend a lot of money or if it's something that's within a budgeted item.
We could always make like 12 decisions on things under $500, right?
Right.
Only saying that sarcastically, of course.
Of course. All right.
So maintenance and the recreation are going to kind of bounce things off each other as far as decorating the entrances and stuff like that. Thank you very much. I know ACC has some stuff that came through, and there was stuff that was approved, stuff that wasn't approved. Is there anything that was that everybody should kind of have an idea about in case it comes up later that somebody wasn't real happy about?
Other than what we've spoken of before.
Anything new?
No.
Okay.
Not that we haven't already covered that.
I know we all covered through the emails trying to let somebody know, you know, where we were with her complaint, and everybody knows that there was a very nice attack towards me and my family and everybody on this street, but generally directed at me. I know some people have seen it, but that same person is going to put up a big black screening material about 8 feet above her fence around at least two sides that I can tell of her backyard. So there shouldn't be any more complaints about lights or her having to see anything in anybody else's yard or anything like that.
Except that's a violation, technically.
A violation of what, Grant? Article?
Careful, hey, guys. You're about to go down a slippery slope right now in terms of discussion. Yep. This is an ACC issue that needs to be addressed offline.
ACC issue.
So if there's an issue that needs to be brought up, that needs to be sent to the ACC, and we'll address it. But to kind of close out the ACC discussion, John Kellerman, that we just discussed, was that there was a request for detached garage by Edson that was sent in that the ACC is currently reviewing. So,
yes, that is true. I was just saying that there was no large explosive issues that you needed to be aware of.
So, like I said, as far as her putting up that screening material, I don't know that there's anything really. I looked at the CNRs and stuff and couldn't see technically where it was a violation, unless somebody else has, you know, reads it different than I do. But what she did was put up the same kind of cloth that they put on chain link fences is what it looks like. And blocked off the side and across the back that faced this way.
What did she put it on?
It's not as ugly as the tarp she put up a couple years ago, but it's still not attractive.
What did she put it on?
And she did it over a weekend, so I think she did it at night. I don't remember seeing it on Saturday and get up Sunday morning and it was there.
But you said it's suspended above her fence.
Yep.
So it's on poles.
I think it's strung from the trees.
Strung from the
trees. Honestly, I think she's got it. I mean, John, you walked through here a couple of weeks ago. I think it was up then. Did you notice it?
Well, then I guess it's not really a structure. It's just an eyesore.
Pretty much. The thing is, you just got to see it to understand it, I guess. That it's just...
I'll see if I can see. But thank you for letting us know.
Yeah, take a ride around this on this side of the property. Come see our funness.
Will do. Thank you for letting us know.
So, all right, that covered maintenance, ACC, audit, CNR revisions. I know I'm going to try to get Liliana to help us out a little bit more with that. She was doing a really good job with the keeping everything on a spreadsheet and stuff, and trying to get everything kind of a little bit more organized. And I'm going to try to talk her into helping a little bit more with that, not just, you know, leaving it out. She has some great organizational skills. I mean, I picked up all the books and printer and all that, just so everybody knows. I've got all that stuff here until we can find a replacement for her. Excuse me. But I'm going to try to get her to kind of help us out with organizing the CNR revisions. Unless anybody's got an objection to her helping out with that.
No.
Okay. So now our big, long, long discussion one. Nominations, Candy.
Hi, John.
How are you? Well, how's nominations going? Have you heard anything?
No, I did get a wonderful, wonderful bio from Carlos Amato a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Probably about 10 days ago. And he is the only one that I've received any word whatsoever expressing interest in participating on the board. However, Carlos had expressed, along with his bio, that he had no interest in being an officer. And so I would love to encourage everybody, and I feel that I have for many, many years, tried to get people to volunteer their services on the board. And every year seems to get more and more difficult. But I wanted Carlos to understand that the way it's looking right now, we're only going to have 5 people on the board. So that is something we need to discuss. The board was reduced from 9 to 7, effective the July board meeting. And we can't even get 3 people willing to nominate themselves. Carlos is one, and we would need at least 2 more. And so my concern is that I will be stepping, you know, my term is over this year, and I thought maybe I would be interested in staying on as registered agent if everybody wanted me to, but the reality is I don't want to. And so that we're going to need 4 officers and a registered agent who does not need to be a board member, but it does need, my understanding is a registered agent is somebody that has to be available 24/7. So that if there's something that's hand delivered or made, there's somebody there to read it and distribute it properly. So I just wanted Carlos to know that if it ends up just being 5 board members, I would hate to see 5 grown men debating about who's going to be president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and then trying to find a registered agent. And you know what? We can't afford to have people dropping off the board anymore. So there does need to be serious discussion about this. I can give you my personal opinion. I'm not going to do that. It's obvious that people that live here, they don't take interest in being part of the progress of this neighborhood. And I don't know who's going to carry the weight or the burden of serving on the board when you have what appears to be an ungrateful membership. But I don't think it's that they're ungrateful as much as they just want somebody else to be responsible for taking care of them. And you have to do it right. And when you don't do it right is when you're going to hear people complain. So if you're all that's one way to do it. Or the other thing is to bring this to the attention of the members and let them know. If they're not willing to serve on the board and volunteer neighborhood, their other option is they can hire a management company. And I've heard several people on the board say, oh, no, 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 we don't want to do that. But it's not up to the board members. It's up to the membership.
Yeah, I just want to add, I just want to add that the reason that I didn't want an officer is more that I think I'm the newest guy and I would expect others to know a lot more, and I just want to get to know the organization. But I'll do whatever is needed. I'm going to be active, and we'll figure out if whatever is needed. But I was just trying to let others run and then learn from that, and then after that maybe I'll start with an official position. But I'm going to be there, and I'll be whatever position is needed.
John, I'd also like to add to Candy, I personally called 12 different people, and I'm getting excuses like, I don't have time, I'm not interested, there's other things I'd rather do. And about half of those people are the new people that's moved into here within less than 2 years. But a lot of people have, most people have said they just don't have time. And that's really a shame, because they're going to live here. And I think John Colton, I think if you were to put out another letter like you did several years ago, explaining that about why we need a board and what it costs to maintain this board, and break it down a little bit, may be helpful. But it's kind of late in the game to be doing anything like that. But you put out an excellent letter, if you remember.
But I put out a bunch of them. I don't know exactly which one you're talking about.
Well, it was a letter explaining to everybody about the need to have people to volunteer and what it costs to maintain this neighborhood per year. I don't think he really broke it down, but that was a good letter you put out.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Was it in relation to what it would cost to have a management company run it? Or was it just...
I've never priced a management company.
Okay, I was just curious.
I don't know. I think a management company would be expensive.
I was just trying to see if I could help you jog your memory, because I wasn't sure. Because I've only been here for X number of years, so... And I know you...
put out a letter, it would have been an appeal to the members, that a reminder that we are not paid employees, we're volunteers on the board to help them, and their $475 dues now does not pay for everything they want done to their neighborhood. If they want extras above the minimum that we're doing for lights and road fund mostly, and a little bit of lawn maintenance, it's going to cost more money. Or they have to get out and help. Yeah, so the members have to step up and take part in what they want their neighborhood to look like. Because we're not paid employees, and none of us should ever be subject to another phone call that says, I want this done or I want that done. You're not doing enough for me to take care of my neighborhood. You know, and it's everybody's neighborhood. So everybody has to pitch in or bite the bullet and agree to raise the dues enough to pay for a management company that will do those things. But
someone's writing going down, to charge us for it.
I thought you were.
Shit.
Well, I would just add this for it's some balance recorded. in this conversation, just for us to have some balance. Yes, we would like to have more participation. However, you know, there's also a lot to be said for only having people on the board who do want to be on the board. You know, there's a lot of chemistry issues you have if. You know, we end up with people on the board who don't want to be here or feel like they're pressured to be here, right? So we might just need a bit more patience holding out, seeing if we could find, you know, someone or maybe some people who would join the board at some point who actually feel a need to be here.
Well, it would be helpful if we could find out or give an estimate of what it might cost to be and going with a private company, because I know it's not only going to cost us more, but it's also going to be a lot more painful for people.
Yes,
when they get on board, they really go and make sure that the CNRs are strictly adhered to, because that's what they're getting paid for, and it's not a good love thy neighbor. kind of relationship.
It's not, because our bylaws and CNRs require that we have a board, a staffed up board to run the neighborhood, to have a management company would require a change, at least to the bylaws, if not to the CNRs. And that takes a pretty good majority vote of the neighbors to agree to it. It'll be not only the raise in the dues to pay for it, but to turn over the control of our neighborhood to an independent third party.
And independent is the key word there, because what you find is if they're any good, they usually will charge a decent amount. And if we could afford them, you're right. So I always think it's a good thing to kind of look at different options, but I have found that the reality is if you could find a way to do it yourself, since it's our neighborhood, these are, you know, we all each other's neighbors. You know, this is our livelihood. You know, this matters to all of us. It's very difficult to hire someone who would care as much as we do. Notwithstanding, it's so hard to find people who seem to care, right?
Yeah. John, I think you're on mute.
Looks like you're on mute, Kellerman.
Sorry, the dog started barking. I put it on mute. I know Terry's been going around and doing it, and I appreciate him going around and doing it. I've been trying to talk to a few people, and I mean, if anybody has somebody that even is a suggestion, let's talk to them. You know, I mean, we've got some people on the meeting today that, you know, they're showing some interest. You know, let's see what they, maybe they want to show a little bit more. And even if they're not holding a board position as far as an officer's position, but the board member part, it helps because it gives us, you know, a broader spectrum of people that we need to make this neighborhood go. I mean, we can't just be all the old people that are in the neighborhood. I mean, I'm one of the newer people in the neighborhood. You know, we got to have that mix of people that have been here for a while, people that are new. You know, we've got people with kids, you know, people with grandkids like me that are, you know, live with us. So we need that broad spectrum of people, and if we can get out there and, you know, do some social distancing handshaking, however you do that, you know, the foot tap thing or whatever it is now, then let's go out and knock on doors or, you know, shoot text messages out to your neighbors or your, you know, you see them outside, stop. You know, I was driving through the neighborhood. I stopped and talked to somebody today. Stopped and talked to a couple people because they were outside.
Were they interested? Do it.
John, so, this is Deborah. I have a suggestion. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead, Deborah.
You can hear me.
Hi. This goes to fiduciary responsibility of the board and how it could save the board a lot of money. And I know a lot of the issues are the attorney fees that the board spends. As far as the dues go and past dues and such, all you have to do is go to small claims court, and that would save you thousands of dollars that you could put in your budget. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
We are, and stuff like that, it's been tried. You know, and things tend to sometimes get out of the control of just that. The attorney on retainer anyway. We keep the attorney on retainer to help us out with stuff like this because sometimes there's, you know, honestly, there's legal stuff that we all don't know, and that's what their job in life is. And
I would suggest if you hire an attorney that's board certified, you're going to get better advice. And I have another idea for you. Cost you nothing to collect your dues. Nothing. But you have to be operating as a legal association to do it. But all you need to do is send the mortgage company a bill for the homeowners association dues. The mortgage company will pay them. Cost you nothing to do that. Just a suggestion.
And those are some of the things that the attorney's doing for us already. And there's things in collections and stuff like that through the attorneys. And
okay, but my point is you don't need an attorney to bill the mortgage company, and it costs the association nothing to collect their dues.
This sounds pretty interesting. I have one question. What's the best way to find who the mortgage company is for my own?
It's public record. Public record is recorded on the note, and it will save the association thousands of dollars. Because if you have to pay an attorney to do it, it's a moot point.
Yes, gotcha. All right. Yep.
No. As a clarifying point, though, we're not paying the attorney to collect our past dues. They make their money from the dues they collect. They handle it all, and it's not costing the association anything.
Well, if they are collected. But if it's not collected, the association isn't benefiting.
But then again, neither is the attorney.
Yeah, our mortgage company is more apt to pay the bill because they have a vested
interest. That is certainly something to look into. That's never been presented as an option. So I think that's worth looking into.
Yes, I've definitely made a note of that.
And Deborah, I mean, feel free to, if you can put all that, you know, what your knowledge is on all this and put it down in an email. And, I mean, you can shoot it to me and I'll pass it on to the board or pass it on. You know, if you've got everybody on the board's email, don't hesitate to send us information like that.
You're welcome. Are there minutes from the July meeting? Because you didn't vote to approve the minutes. I haven't seen minutes from July.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to check with Liliana on that. I didn't see them in the book, but I haven't looked through the entire book yet of what we've got. And I'm trying to go through, unfortunately, playing secretary and president right now with all the stuff here, so I'm trying to catch up on a lot of the stuff that she had. And okay, I mean, she's got stuff organized, so it's just a matter of going through it again. But I'm sure it's here. It's just a matter of knowing, it's a matter of finding it where. Does that make sense?
I totally understand.
Wouldn't a mortgage company only pay if set it up for the company to pay, just like they only pay your property tax if you set it up for them to pay your property tax?
Not in all circumstances. For example, when you have to renew your homeowner's insurance every year, the insurance company sends your mortgage company a bill. And you can also work with the homeowner to, because the mortgage company will escrow that, and so it gives the homeowner a way to get their dues paid up front, but they only have to pay for it in a monthly payment.
Right. You can set it up that way when you set up your mortgage, but if you choose not to do that, and you say no.
I promise you, you start sending mortgage companies a bill for homeowners insurance, for homeowners association dues, they have a vested interest in that property. They are going to want to get that bill paid. And a lot of times they will pay it without even contacting the homeowner.
Okay. I mean, I just know that I'm just saying.
You have nothing to lose. Try it.
I believe you. In my taxes are not paid through my mortgage company, so I know that. But that's if they'll pay it, great.
I know. I just went through the mortgage thing and a refinance, and they wouldn't do the HOA fees, but they did everything else. So it's a one lump payment thing. They do my taxes. And my insurance and everything
else.
Yeah,
not all mortgage companies will, but if you even work with the homeowner and say, why don't you contact your mortgage company? If you can't afford to pay this, they'll pay it and escrow it, and you only have to come up with a certain amount per month, then the homeowner might be willing to work with you on that. Just a suggestion.
What happens if you don't have a mortgage?
Then there's no mortgage company to pay it.
Then we have to get the route that we're going, right?
That's one way.
You know, she's trying to give you tips on ways to collect your money, and that's all she can do. But you're trying to find all the reasons why you can't collect.
Oh, no. I'm agreeing with John Houghton that I think it's a good option. I think we need to look into it. But right now, it's just a good option.
Right. I understand.
It's the best option we have next to the other option.
Yeah.
John was asking for suggestions, and so I just thought I would share that.
Yeah.
It's up to you what you do with it.
It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
I wasn't trying to downplay it. I was just asking because I know that mine is not in it, so I wasn't sure if you knew if they would pay it in all circumstances.
No, not in all. Some will, some won't.
Okay.
So who's going to look into this just as an option?
You're young blood and motivated right now. So...
Finance.
All you have to do for an experiment is call your own mortgage company and ask them.
We can all call our own and see what they have to say. And I'm kind of with John Kellerman in my experience that I vaguely remember being told the HOA is not something that is authorized for escrow. If a mortgage company knows that the HOA is getting ready to file a lien on somebody for failure to pay, they might be willing to do that, because if we file a lien, then they have to try to protect their interests as well. So it might depend on the circumstances and certainly depend on which mortgage company you're talking about. But I don't think it was an option for me at the time. But it could all be different. That was many years ago. So, yeah, let's all just check with our own mortgage companies and we can compare notes and see. And maybe it's a possibility. I would think it would be a better possibility. Yes?
I was going to say, also ask them, would it make a difference if they were past due and there was going to be a lien, if that would make a difference, if they would pay it?
It might. And my thought was that it might come better from the property owner if they wanted to try to convince their mortgage company to put it in the escrow to help them make their annual payments. It might go over better from the customer rather than from an unknown HOA. So certainly in any ideas that anybody has, they are all good ideas, because as we were saying a minute ago, this is everybody's neighborhood, not ours, and we're all volunteers and we don't know everything. Far from the first admit, I don't know a whole lot about all this stuff. I'm learning as we go and doing the best we can. So anytime somebody can help us, that's wonderful. Please.
Absolutely.
Continue.
Deborah, if you could do us a favor, and it's just to help me since I'm kind of double dipping on the two jobs right now, is just kind of write that stuff out a little bit for us and send it to me in an email so I don't forget everything, because I'm trying to double dip, and I'm gonna have to sit here and try to figure out how to translate the recorded meeting notes and everything else for the next one. And that would help me a lot. Thank you. Okay, anybody else have anything today?
Deborah, what's your last name?
Newton.
Okay, I thought so. I just want to make sure. So I want to help John with some of these notes so we can get some minutes going here. We got a couple of, there's one other phone or one or two other phone numbers who don't know who's there. So it's hard to give credit to the members that partook in the meeting if they don't have a name associated with them.
Well, my number is 766-5796.
Okay. Well, you've got your number and your name showed up. So did you log in through the app and call in on your phone?
I did, but okay. I had to leave my computer.
Okay. That's what it is. I was just trying to keep up with it. There's one other number of 559-7536. Do we know who that is?
Okay.
Nobody's going to talk about that one. 559-7536.
Candy, was that your number?
No, mine should show
up. Hers is the 445.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. There could be somebody else who had to call in to get the audio. My audio's been kind of spotty with the internet.
Yeah, mine jumped in and out. I lost the whole thing, and it reconnected me to the meeting. So, if nobody else has anything else that we can think of tonight, I'm open to anything else.
I think we need to go a little further on the nomination thing here and make a plan, because if my records are right, there are 4 returning members, so we have 3 vacancies coming up. Am I missing somebody?
All right, so returning members are you, Terry, me, Edson, and Grant.
Grant is not a returning member. He was a fill-in And his position has to come up for a vote because there was more than 18 months left when the position was vacated. If we follow the bylaws. Okay, so that leaves four returning, three vacancies. For a proper vote, we have to have 5 to 6 volunteers on the ballot. That makes it a little tougher if we truly only have just Carlos volunteering as one. But if we don't have 150 to 200% volunteers of the number of vacancies, it can be challenged as not a valid ballot. Now, why anybody would want to challenge it, I don't know, because they want other volunteers to fill these board members and have this stuff done for them, but it has happened in the past. And if there's anybody disgruntled about who's running or what's going on, it'd be real easy to step up and invalidate the whole thing and make us have to start over.
At this point, I think it's very important that... I was just going to say real quick, at this point, any challenge should become an automatic volunteer.
That's right. I agree.
I do too. The thing with Grant's position, I mean, I've read the CNRs and stuff, and you said it's in the bylaws that it's that way. Yeah. And I'd like to read that one again, just in case. So,
and I might be reading it wrong, but my memory is that there's more than 15 or 18 months left in the term that is being, if we have a vacancy, the board is supposed to replace that vacancy. So technically we should be replacing Liliana, but this is the last quarterly meeting, so it hardly makes sense to do it. But we do have that many vacancies coming for next year. And it'd be nice if we could find enough willing people to step in and help their neighborhood. Debbie, you sound very knowledgeable with this. Would you be willing to run? Who else on here? Barry Kelly. You're Barry showing up Kelly. To meetings.
Tina.
Who else?
You, right.
We have right. Another one on here. We had Tina on here. Yes, Barry.
What?
Are you listening? Have you heard, or did you tune us out?
I've been listening to every single word you guys said. Y'all boring. We need y'all to sit there and dance on a table at least. Come on, Terry Mary, you can do it.
I'd rather see Barry do it as he's dancing on the table, saying that he'll run for the board.
Nah, there's too many legal issues for me to run on the board. You don't want me right now.
I'll help Carlos.
What, Deborah?
John, you can probably explain this. John, Holton, you can probably explain this better than I can. But we got to have a minimum of 5. If we can't even get 7, then the board has got to tonight. We've got to vote because the slate has got to be set at this meeting for November to be voted on. And we got to send out the ballots. So something's got to be settled tonight. It's got to be settled tonight.
Technically, yes, I agree with you 100%. The nominations committee was supposed to bring, according to the bylaws, they're supposed to bring to this meeting an acceptable slate of volunteers to present to the board, not for board's approval, but just to show that we have it so the board can move forward with notifying, producing the ballots, and get them out. And I think the ballots need to be out about 14 days before the annual meeting. So we've got a week or so. We have to produce ballots and actually find people to run, to volunteer, and be willing to be voted on to the board. So technically you're right, Terry. It's supposed to be done by this meeting. It's not done. I think that we're going to have to go forward with a a provisional vote maybe to reduce to 5 if we cannot find volunteers. I would not say we absolutely have to say, nope, we don't have them. We got to go to 5 today. But, I mean, since Grant just popped back up, I don't know if anybody's asking him if he's willing to run again. Maybe he just assumed he was coming back on the board or continuing. But I think we've talked about this at a previous meeting, that his term was a fill-in and not an official term. So he really technically should be back on the ballot if he's willing to run. And then that'll be, if he voted on, that's a 2-year term. So are you shaking your head yes? So we have now have you and Carlos. You're on mute, by the way. Grant, you're on mute. Grant, you're on mute.
Sorry.
Grant, you're on mute.
I can not hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I can now, yes. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Good play, Ron.
I really have no other choice.
It's your choice.
No, it's not, because if I say no, you have not. We have nothing.
But we have to find more volunteers. Well, right now, if we have you and Carlos, we still need 3 more for a valid.
I thought I heard Deborah say that she wouldn't mind being a board member.
It's not that I don't want to do it. I just feel like I've got kids and all kinds of stuff pulling me in 12 different directions. I know that's what everybody says.
I'm in the same boat.
You've got 3 kids under 9.
I'm just asking.
And soccer and no.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
But I just don't want to not give it enough time. That's all.
John, I have another suggestion. This is Deborah.
Hi, okay. Deborah, how are you?
You guys need a parliamentarian.
We need a. I'm sorry, you broke up. I didn't hear you.
You need a parliamentarian.
Sounded like you said you were volunteering.
No, the July meeting was 3.5 hours.
Parliamentarian sounds like a fun job.
Well, yeah, the meetings are lasting long because there's a lot to do and too few people to do it. That's all the more reason why we need more volunteers to help get all this stuff done. Because the few volunteers we have are getting burned out. They can't do everything. Yeah, even the thing of going through and rewriting the CNRs are so outdated. That's going to take a lot of time for somebody or lots of somebodies. And
I can order Carlos's
the
plant.
Few people that have been doing it for years. That's helpful. Anything that you're willing to do is helpful. The board appreciates any volunteering.
Yes.
Okay, so a provisional vote. Does this, if we can't get enough people nominated for the board in the next, what do we got, 30 days before the meeting, John?
Well, you got about 30 days, and I don't remember what day we set. It could change. We set it, and we reserved the church, but I don't know how we're going to do the annual meeting this year. That's for somebody to figure out. I don't think a lot of people want to come in person to a central meeting hall to cast their ballots. We're probably going to have to do mail-in ballots. So we're going to have to write up the ballots a little bit differently this year. And I believe they need to be mailed out 14 days ahead of the meeting. We need to double check the deadlines. So there's lots of different ones and I can't keep them all straight. And it's going to take several days to prepare the ballots. So I guess we have about a week to find a few more volunteers and gather bios. So if we can't get 5 total volunteers within the next week, And if Grant is willing to run between him and Carlos, that's two. That would satisfy the one vacancy we have.
I also want to look at the bylaws on Grant's position again.
Okay.
Because Grant,
please double check.
You know, it may be just a different interpretation.
Only needing three or four instead of five.
So.
By all means, I mean, I'll stay if my position's not open, and I'm not trying to not do this. I just, if there's someone that can give more time and be faster to answer emails and, you know, be there on the dot and not have little kids constantly in the background making lots of noise, like, that, you know.
And I understand, Grant, you know, and it's, we've tried to cut down the emails a little bit in the last few weeks to where it's, you know, like today I sent out a couple, but we're trying to get things a little bit more controlled, I guess is the way to say it, as far as we're not blasting out all these emails.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I said, I just don't want to do a disservice. That's all.
And you haven't, at any given time, you haven't been, you've been helpful and sometimes more of a calming factor. Does that make sense? In the way you've brought information back to everybody, or, you know, your point of view on things. I mean, it does help.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I'm looking through the articles to try to find the one on fill-ins. What does the rest of the board think about the possibility of reducing to five? I don't think it's a great idea personally, because it's going to put a big burden on a small handful of people to take care of everything for the neighborhood.
I'm with that interpretation of things.
I'm actually kind of sad we had to reduce it to seven, but I don't see any way we could have had enough volunteers to keep it at nine.
May I make a suggestion to Grant, if you would just temporarily stay on here until, or put your name in for the board until January, and that way we can keep what we got now, and maybe we can find some volunteer between now and January, where we can solve this issue.
Jerry, he's already on the board until January as a fill-in.
Yeah, the only way
we can find somebody new is because of the situation with the vacancy. It is required by our governing documents to be voted on by the membership, and the only time they do that is at the annual meeting. If we do it any other time, we have to call a special meeting with proper noticing.
I mean, I figured I was on here till January anyway, but
you are.
I just.
Well, just like John said, there's a lot to be done in less than a month, and we got to have a place to set up for the homeowners association meeting. We've got to put out ballots. We got to put out letters. There's a lot to be done in less than a month.
Are we doing?
I agree 100% with you. But to be all honest with, I don't think we're going to have people wanting to come do a face-to-face meeting with the stuff that we've got, you know, with the COVID stuff and everything else. I think we're going to be looking more towards having, an absentee ballot where people are mailing ballots, and then we set up a Zoom for or a chime meeting for counting them and do it that way. But I think, we can get up a week to try to get some more people on this ballot. And I know, Terry, you've been busting your hump, but like John suggested, even if we do right now a provisional vote to take it down to 5 members, if we can't get those people. But on the big side of it, that'll give us a week. Then if we don't get it, then it goes into effect, and then we're looking at only having to fill a couple of positions. If not, if we can get more people, then we go from there.
Yeah, so we need to mail out ballots 2 weeks ahead of whatever meeting we're going to call to count ballots. We have, in recent years, we've tried to do it earlier in November rather than later to make it easier for people with holiday plans to come attend a meeting to turn in their ballot. We don't have to do it the first or second week of November. It could be the second or third week for the official counting meeting. So I still think we're down to a couple of weeks where we need to get this resolved. 3 at most, and still have a time to do.
Down it to 5.
Sorry, you cut out, Grant.
Do we even have enough people to have the number over the open slots if we cut it down to 5?
If we cut it down to 5, we have 1 vacancy. And then, so if you choose to join in the volunteering along with Carlos, one of you would be the 5th.
So one of,
yeah, according to the election.
Oh, okay.
But like I said, I really do want to look at that bylaw as far as Grant's position, since he filled it. I mean, in all honesty, Grant's filled positions more than once when it came down to somebody coming on and leaving.
Yes.
I've been
the
second best twice.
And he's, honestly, I think he's earned the right to stay here anyway. You know, I don't think that Grant, I hate the way technically he's been treated on this, because twice he's come in and stepped up to the plate and filled it. And,
yeah,
you know, when other people and didn't step up or there, Grant was there. And I don't feel like right to have to sit down and tell him, oh no, you stepped into another position, but you got to go ahead and try again.
And be second choice again. That would make me so sad. I think I don't know if I could run again.
So I'd like to take a look at that bylaw.
It's our.
I know we didn't vote on the minutes from the last one. I think I'd like to put out that we just, until I can find them and make sure that everything was right, that we put them off until just a quick set on the regular HOA meeting, that we put that the vote on the last meeting, and then we can vote on this one too, or vote on this one in the January meeting. If that's all right, if anybody would like to second that we put that vote until the HOA meeting. As far as the minutes from the last
we
meeting.
We can either do that. We could either do that, or we could actually notice it as part of the November meeting that we're going to have a special board meeting opening the annual members meeting. Either way you want to go with it.
Okay, let's make it a special board meeting, and that can cover some of these other votes that we got to do.
Okay. All
right.
Everybody good with that?
So the article.
Go ahead.
The article in question that you wanted to look at is Article 7 of the bylaws, Section 2. It says vacancies in the board of directors shall be filled by the remaining directors. I mean, we as the directors select somebody to fill that vacancy. The name of any such appointed director designated to complete an unfulfilled term of more than 15 months shall be placed on the ballot for confirmation by the membership at the next annual election. The majority being required to approve the director's service during the final year of the term. So that's basically saying he has to be voted on to finish that term for one okay. more year.
The way you read it, he doesn't have to volunteer to be on it. His name automatically goes on it to finish that position. With what you just read.
We as directors automatically goes on the ballot if he's willing. Now, we asked him if he was willing, and we appointed him to the vacancy. And this says that name then must be on the ballot for approval by a majority vote for him to finish the next year. Majority that's what it vote. Says to me. If anybody else wants to read this.
Majority
right, vote. Right, but that's not, and we I think we treat it as, right, of the people who vote.
Okay.
We have to have a certain quorum, and a quorum might just be, we'll have to double check. This is one of those that's a little bit different. It might just be a majority of those who bothered to vote because it's for re-election. If we have 10 people that submit ballots, six of them have to say yes because it has to be a more than 50%.
And he can run on the post.
According to that, that's yeah, exactly.
Okay.
At this point, it's almost silly to have an election. If we can find somebody who's willing to volunteer, yeah, that's all there is to vote for. So they should just be appointed. But that's not what our CNRs say and bylaws say.
Yeah, we have to have so many over the number of positions to be voted on.
That's right. Right. The members are supposed to have a choice. It's not supposed to be where the board reelects themselves and keeps the same people on. It's the idea was that we would have many volunteers from the neighborhood helping out, and that the rest of the neighbors would be able to choose from those they have confidence in to promote their ideas and desires. So we have a truly representative and diverse board. That's why when we get down to 7 and 5, and even 7 is kind of tight, you get the same ideas and thoughts over and over and over.
Hey, I agree, but we should, since we're updating the CNRs, we ought to put, you know, this is happening, so we should have a, if this doesn't happen, which is what we really would like to do, is have more candidates, we should have a modified version, which is basically what we're saying is, then only the individuals that are volunteering, then they get to fill it in on the post. You know, yeah, we need to modify the CNR. Huh? You think that there is a possibility to modify the CNR also?
There's always a possibility, Carlos. Type it up.
We just have to
modify the CNR. Remember, takes the supermajority vote of the members because that affects their property rights. So you have to have, I think, 66% of the members actually submit a ballot, and then 50% of those have to agree to change.
But that's what we're going to do with all these CNR updates, right?
Right.
So let's take the opportunity to write something for this.
So put that on the list as one more that needs to be changed. But that's in the bylaws. It's not in the CNRs.
Okay.
Oh. And the bylaws have a little different. They have a different process and a different majority for approving changes to the bylaws. And those changes can be immediate, whereas the CNRs, as written today, can't take effect for 3 years. So that's some of the things that the attorney has tried to help us reword. We got to fix some of that stuff if we ever want the ability to truly change these things in a meaningful way and time.
Right. Thank you.
We've got to be careful how we reword it and rewrite it, though, so that a future board can hijack it and do exactly what it was written the way it was written
for.
You know,
well, that's so why it takes a majority vote of the neighbors to approve.
Right.
Yeah, that is. Boards aren't supposed to be able to hijack it and treat it the way they want. That's why it's a property right, a vested property right that you have the obligation to vote upon to change. And it's not supposed to be set up where anybody can do.
I understand that. I'm just saying we need to be careful how we rewrite it so that a future board doesn't abuse what we rewrite to try and fix this issue.
Agreed. All rules need to be clearly written so there's no ambiguity.
Yes, because therein lies misinterpretation in moving of periods. And someone telling you what it says, and then no one actually going back and reading it and just accepting what people tell you it says for 25 years.
This is why we need multiple members from the neighborhood to join in and make sure that everybody's rights are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've tried for years to convince people that they need to volunteer and help and join the board and do things for themselves. I mean, it's protecting their own property values and their own neighborhood. And I don't know what else to say. So if anybody else can put out a passionate plea that will do any good, please do so.
I will, Gary, and that's why I was just hoping. You had your old email that you sent out, but I will try to pull at their heartstrings here in the next couple of days and send out another one. So we're agreed that we're going to have a special meeting before the November meeting, and we're going to give ourselves another 2 weeks maximum to try to get some more volunteers.
Yeah,
I'd say it.
But I even tried to get Jordan to volunteer, and I was going to stay on the ACC, you know, because we couldn't both be on the board. I was like, well, one of us can be on the board, one of us can be on the ACC, right? She was like, I was like, damn it.
Yeah, I told you we could, John. All right, Grant, John and I have already talked about that, and I explained to you that you can get Jordan on there on the board if she wants.
No. I'm saying I talked to her and she said no. Oh. I was like, come on.
So, JK, you want to set the meeting up for 2 weeks from tonight?
2 weeks from tonight.
Okay.
So we don't, then at this point, we do not have a set date for the members' meeting. We'll have to decide that and let them know when we send out the ballot 2 weeks ahead of that meeting.
Correct.
It does need to be, according to the bylaws, it is supposed to be in November, but it doesn't have a specified date.
Do you have a particular time you want to have it on the 27th?
Is everybody good with 7 o'clock again, or do we need to have a – because I think it's going to be kind of short, sweet. It's basically just to revolve around nominations and setting the date for the November meeting. So 7 o'clock, good with everybody?
Some printed material to pull together and envelopes to stuff and mail. So we can nail that down to that meeting as well.
Right.
The 27th?
The 27th, 7 p.m.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be there. The bell's on.
Well, thank you, Grant. We know you, Grant, you're always there for us, and we appreciate it.
Oh, Jesus. You're putting it on thick.
So how many board members are in attendance this evening, and how many members, please?
All the board members. Myself, Grant, John Haltom, Terry, and Edson are the five surviving because of with Clay and Liliana resigning. Clay is hanging on and helping us out, and I appreciate it. And then on the outside of that, we Carlos, Barry, Deborah, Tina, and then one person that I didn't know the number of.
So like 4 or 5 homeowners. Okay.
Right.
So when are you gonna present the changes or the recommendations for the CNRs, updating the CNRs?
Like I said earlier, I'm gonna get with Liliana this and see if she can help me out getting this back into organized up so that we can present those at the membership meeting too.
Okay.
I probably have some work I need to do on that as well that I owe, but I will try and put some time aside and get that to you. I know
John. Grant, are you done? Clarification, please, John. Did you just say you were going to have a revised set of CNRs to present at the annual meeting?
I'm going to get with Liliana about all the suggestions that we've had so that we can present all the suggestions with the covenant CNR that they're referring to at the annual meeting. I'm going to try to get her to help me out with that. So we're not going to have a complete change. It's going to be the CNR as it is with the suggestions next to it as far as changes that people can vote on or start to review.
To vote on or to give them an idea of where we're pointing, because I think
probably the second.
I think you're right, and this way they've got an idea of what everybody wants or everybody that has made suggestions. And then we can figure out exactly how we need to go about getting a vote on those, because the way I read it, it didn't have to be at a members meeting. A vote could go out like a ballot or at a special ballot going out for something like that.
Yes, I understand that once we get a final version that we're all happy with, and presenting those types of changes will give the members an opportunity to see what we're thinking and hopefully get them thinking and get involved when they start to see what types of things we're going to change. And we're going to get both ends of the spectrum of no, I don't want that change at all, to yes, why haven't you done that already? But once we get those ideas, then we can come up with a final version for rewrite, put that out for review, and then give them a time. You know, they must vote. And from the time we send it out, it just hangs out there until we get 66% of the members returning a ballot, yes or no. So it could go on for a long time before we get enough numbers to respond before we can actually make a change.
Question.
Right.
It's a strange process.
Go ahead, Grant.
Do we wait till we have 66% on the entirety, or 66% on individual things? Some people going to be interested in, are they responding on a ballot, or are they going to only be interested in certain areas?
That's something we're going to have to decide.
We're going to have to figure that one out, Greg. Whether we're going to take it by individually.
I think we're going to be better off saying, here is the majority's opinion on collective changes, and give it to them all at one time and have one vote and one revision, and it passes or it doesn't.
I understand what you're saying, Grant, and having it broken down would be where they can vote yes or no on each individual part.
I
think in the big picture, I think it would be better to try to get it all done at once.
And I understand both, and I kind of I'm in your camp, but I'm just giving both options. And seeing
that's something we can figure out a little bit later on.
That's going to be a job for the 2021 board to wrestle with. I don't see how that's going to get changed this year.
So who is on that?
This is our last board meeting of the year.
Well, it might just be you again, Grant. With Carlos joining in.
Only after one of you steps down.
To get both of you, if we go to five, hopefully we'll have enough to stay at seven.
And that's what we're hoping for.
We need to find three more willing bodies.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, right. We really do.
It's going on 9 o'clock, Grant's got kids that's got to get ready for tomorrow's festivities at school, and if they're doing virtual.
Yeah, I've been jumping from room to room, trying to stay as far
away from. We're gonna have our special board meeting on the 27th at 7. We'll set it up with this chime again to work out the rest of the nominations. In the meantime, everybody, please go out, pump your neighbors to try to volunteer.
All right. Sounds good night.
Bye all.
John, you're muted. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Unmuting. Am I unmuted now?
Now you're there.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
I can hear you.
Sorry about that.
I can hear you.
Good. What I was saying is you used the word special board meeting, and I just want to verify whether you mean a working meeting of the board or a true special board meeting where there might be a vote taken that affects the membership. If you're going to do that, then you have to have an agenda of the things that are going to be voted upon and notified to the membership at least 6 days ahead of time so they can participate in the meeting.
Okay.
So just be sure of which you want. If it's not going to be a special board meeting that needs to be noticed, then we can do whenever as just a working meeting. But if we have to vote on anything, the members need the opportunity to weigh in.
Well, the other thing that we were, like we discussed earlier, that we're talking about voting on is whether we go from seven members to five members.
Seven members to five members.
And I would suggest we do that, but, well, it's tough with the ballots.
Right.
If we're going to do that, then it's got to be noticed to the membership and let them know that in 2 weeks. So we'll have to send that out 6 days ahead of time if you make that decision. I thought what we were talking about is we're going to get back together in 2 weeks, see if we have enough volunteers. If we don't, then we need to prepare a ballot for five, and we need to notice a special meeting at the start of the annual members meeting to say we didn't get enough ballots, so we're hereby holding a vote based on the ballots we sent out to you. There will only be five members. It leaves us in a bad situation.
Okay, so we'll leave it as a working meeting then, and then we can always decide. Pardon me. Decide from there if we need to have a special board meeting for the change.
For the change.
Okay. Which comes first, chicken or the egg? You know, it's hard to because we got to send out a ballot 14 days ahead of that meeting too.
Right, so they're still going to give us some.
So at that time, we'll have
to give us some.
Right, so if we send out a ballot ahead of time, if we meet in 14 days and we have just come to the conclusion we cannot get enough volunteers, then as part of the ballot mailing, we'll have to have a notice in there that says this is also your notice that there will be a special board meeting at the start of the annual members meeting to vote to reduce the board down to five, and here are your volunteers to fill that one vacancy. Vote on one of these at the annual meeting.
Correct. So we got 14 days to get people.
14 days to get people.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Anything else? Anybody else?
I make the motion we adjourn the meeting.
I second it.
I think Terry beat you to it. All in favor of the three of us remaining? I don't know if Candy's still there or not. Oh, you don't count. You're not a board member anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So it looks like 9:04 meeting adjourned.
9:04 meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned.
Night.